Amen. One more time with everything. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You know, as we were doing that confession, it just reminded me of Jeremiah 17. In verse 7, it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." So then that tells me that no matter how hopeless the situation looks, it's not hopeless for me because I'm trusting in God.
Yeah.
I'm trusting in God. I'm trusting in God.
It says that man is blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's why we pronounce blessing over ourselves.
Amen.
Somebody ask you, how you doing? I'm blessed because I trust in the Lord. He's my hope. He's my fortress. He's my song. He's my shield. So I'm blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Thank you, Lord. I'm still on the inside singing, "He makes me want to shout, hallelujah." So it takes me some time. And that, a lot of times I just rock as it's on the inside playing. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, I'm going to start reading at verse number 1, read the first 5 verses, and we'll start from there. Verse number 1 said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Glory to God. Amen. Perilous times. Let me just say this one thing so I can move on and finish the verse. The word that's translated perilous, the Greek word literally means fierce. Fierce times. So the Apostle Paul is saying to Timothy, in the last days, fierce times shall come. Well, what's going to mark them as fierce? Look at what it starts with, this statement. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." Don't let it be lost on you that in this time of the degeneration of human character. That's basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
He said people are going to be awful. So there's a degeneration of morals. A degeneration of integrity. A loss of honor. And so now, don't let it be lost on you that this time that Paul was saying is going to be so fierce that at the beginning of the list, it starts with they will love themselves. And at the end of the list, it says they will love pleasure more than God. I know. That's all right. Okay. So verse 4 again says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He said, listen, from such turn away. In other words, any group, any people that follow these ways, he said, turn away from them. Now, it says having a form of godliness. In other words, it'll look like it. It'll look godly. It'll look good. It'll look right. It'll look true. But what will distinguish godliness from ungodliness, he said, will be power. See, this time will be distinguished in that people will love themselves, but their integrity, their honor, morality will be rooted in their love for themselves and their love of pleasure. Yeah. And they're going to make it look religious, if you will, or godly, if you will. And so they'll begin to define a new kind of godliness, but it will be distinct from true godliness in that it has no, come on, it has no what?
Power.
It has no what?
Power.
It has no power. It says a form of godliness, but it denies power. Or one of the definitions for deny is contradict. So it'll look godly, but the contradiction is, it's powerless. So there is in godliness power.
You know, another one of the words used to describe denying is reject. And we see so much of that now. And we are, what a lot of people are saying now, and I believe it's the truth, because this has to be for people to walk in this state, deception. And so, and the deception will be so convincing if you don't know God or if you don't know the word of God. Because unfortunately, there are people in pulpits all over this country giving the idea that they're representing God and they're just as dark as the world. And so, we are responsible to know the word. We have responsibilities to present the word to you, which is what God has called and anointed us to do. But you still are responsible to check it out for yourself. Don't just come on Sunday. Don't just turn on the internet on Wednesday nights. But okay, Lord, this is what they said. Now I need to hear you give me more clarification of this.
So
that I don't get caught up in the deception, okay?
Yeah, and now, hear clearly what she said. She said, you go home and you say, okay, who?
God.
Lord. Okay, Lord. Okay, God. Okay, Savior. This is what they said. I need some clarity. Now, see, you can see the purpose of teaching is to bring you closer to God. So through the teaching, I'm going to him to get some clarity. I'm going to him to get some understanding. I'm going to him to find out how I can make this a part of my life.
That's right.
Yeah. And so the way then that there will be fake godliness out there, that's what a form of God, fake godliness is the, because folk don't know real godliness.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, if you know real godliness, you can't pass fake godliness on. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, those people, those agents that are responsible for tracking down counterfeiters, they don't study fake bills. They study the real one.
That's right.
Because if they know the real one, you can't pass that fake stuff off on them.
Yeah.
And see, if you know the real God, if man, if he has really delivered, if he's healed you, if you've seen his power alive in your life, if he's changed you, you can't pass that fake stuff off on you because there's no power in that.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you really need to know this to strengthen your relationship with God. Not for you to know this so that you can show somebody up or talk about somebody or be important to somebody, so that you can strengthen your relationship with God. Because and this, now what I'm about to say is really not a part of our message, but I promise I won't go too far out there. But I said it in front this time. But in case you did not know, there in the, I need everybody paying attention to this, even though I know you're paying attention to everything we're saying. In case you didn't know, there's a rapture coming. And not necessarily everybody who thinks they're going is going to go because of no relationship. And so not saying that to get you in fear. But listen, sometimes when my husband leaves the house, I say, well, where are you going? Well, I'm going to this store, or I'm going to that place. And I'll say, oh, you want me to go with you? And he'll say, okay, if you want. See, when Jesus comes back for the church, I'm saying, I'm going with you. Mm-hmm. Not... Mm-hmm. I'm not even ready, or all of a sudden I'm standing next to someone who's a believer who sold out to God. I'm standing next to them, and all of a sudden they disappear because the Lord has raptured them up. Because as dark as it's getting after the rapture, because Holy Spirit in us, and we are the ones holding total darkness back. And after we're gone, all bets are off.
Yeah.
And God forbid any of us are still here.
Yeah.
And so I implore you, I beg you, grow in your relationship with God. Learn what that is, what that looks like. Mm-hmm. Allow Holy Spirit to develop you. Because see, my relationship with God is really separate from his. Even though we're one here in the earth, I need my own relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I need it to count. I need it to be real in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So let me read that passage from the New Living Translation just to make sure. Because I don't want to spend a lot of time going through the list. This is just to help us to get where we're going. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to make sure that some of these qualities that will exist, if I want to call them qualities, maybe I should call them flaws that will exist during this time in people. Paul listed, the lack of character, all of those things. Paul lists them so we'll understand what these times look like. And man, if they don't define today, God, Lord. All right, so I want to start at verse 1 and read from the New Living Translation. It says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will, good Lord, people will love only. I love the way that the New Living put, only. Only. People will love only themselves. You know, why am I emphasizing this so much? Because if I love only me, you are nothing to me. You're nothing.
But I may put on the show that's necessary so that I, mm-hmm. who am in love with me, myself, and I, mm-hmm. can get from you what mm-hmm. I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents. And it almost seemed like that ain't supposed to be in the list.
That's right. Amen.
Huh. It just almost seemed like that disobedient to parents. It seemed like that don't go in the list. But Paul said, this is a characteristic of the last days.
Right.
And so Paul then equates this with all of the other flaws that we see here and says is as bad as the rest of them. All right, I'll just move on. Disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred.
Mm.
Nothing is sacred.
Mm.
Nothing. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They have to be unloving because they love themselves only, so nothing, there's no love left for anything else because I always love me more. And so ultimately, I'm going to be unloving to anyone and anything else that I encounter. All right. I didn't intend to take this long on this list. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly.
Can I just
stay away? Let me just read the last line.
Okay, go ahead. Preach it, Pastor.
Stay away from people like that.
Amen. And let the church say, amen. But as you were saying that, I just believe the Lord quickened my heart that there is an individual, or it may be several, in here. God has been telling you, run,
run.
He's been telling you to turn and walk away. And you keep going, no, that's just me, I know. And other people are trying to tell you that, no, you just need to walk in love. God said walk away. And he said that for a reason. I don't care how good the package look right now. I don't care how wonderful it sounds right now. Lovers of themselves, they got nothing for you. And I'm not even necessarily talking about, you know, male-female relationships. This is just people. People will hurt you and leave you for dead like roadkill. And God does not want that for you. So, in case you were wondering, yes, God, stop it. Walk away. Save yourself. Okay, I'm done.
So I believe that everything that we saw there will come under three categories.
Okay.
Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasure.
Yep.
In other words, I'm loving something I should not. And so here the scripture pinpoints the basic problems of humanity. They start with loving me. When I love myself too much, that love of self breaks up marriages, destroys families. Come on, y'all know selfish people that love themselves. They can't be married.
Selfish.
They can't. And if you're dating a selfish person, what was your prophecy?
Run!
Okay.
Trust me, God got something better.
Amen.
Breaks up families. It destroys churches even.
Yes.
Because you find selfish people that want what they want. And so, then they will murmur, complain. They won't participate in certain things. Why? Because it doesn't please me. That song doesn't please me. The way they do offering doesn't please me. The fact that they do offering.
Yeah.
That doesn't please me. But that says I love me more than I love God.
Yeah.
If you look at the scripture, one of the things that is consistent from the very beginning of Genesis all the way through scripture is offering. Offering. The first thing God said to them is, you can have all the fruit of the garden except the fruit of this one tree. In other words, I want you to sacrifice that tree to me. Sacrifice or dedicate to me. But now, so then, if I don't sacrifice that tree, that says I want to be independent of you. I don't want to have to depend on you to tell me what's right and what's wrong. I'm going to eat this fruit, and then I will live by my knowledge of what's right and what's wrong. And when I live by my knowledge of what's right or what's wrong, what's right will begin to shift more and more toward what I like, what feels good to me, what I think is right, rather than what really is right. And God said, if you depend on me, I'll keep you right. Or I'll give you another word, righteous. But if you are responsible for knowing what's right and what's wrong, you ain't gonna make it.
Yeah. I believe that one of the biggest deceptions for people are to believe that they can even live without God. Even though you're walking around denying God and being selfish and being hateful and, you know, murderers, killers, lovers of yourselves, the love of God is what has kept you from dropping dead right where you stand. And the love of God is giving you enough room to change. But there is coming a day when you will no longer have that opportunity. And you don't know what it's like to live without God. The world doesn't know what it's like to live without God. The one who created everything, nothing can exist without him. Nothing. We have no idea what that's like. And I refuse to find out. I don't want to know. I don't. I trust him at his word is not a pleasant thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2. Going back to the King James. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at verse number 9. So what we saw there in 2 Timothy was what will happen or how fierce the times will become when people begin to live without God. And see, this attitude is beginning to become pervasive in the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you have in the church this custom in some churches that does not want any flow of the Spirit, no speaking in tongues, any of the things that display his power.
Nor do they want to be challenged.
They don't want to be challenged.
Because I love myself. Don't ask me to change. What? I'm good. What? All of this? I don't need to change. And so you just have some churches that cater to what is known as seeker-friendly churches. If you came to be coddled, if you came to have your ego stroked, that's where you go.
In other words, I'll do whatever is necessary to make this comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Now, there's you know, nothing wrong with wanting to be hospitable to guests. But if that hospitality makes you deny what you are, you know, come on, if in order to be hospitable to you at my house, if I can't be who I am,
you got to
that,
go.
That's a problem.
You got to go. That,
see, in this place, I need to be me. And if you have to, if you are uncomfortable with me, you need to leave this place. Because I'm going to be comfortable here. And that's not saying that, you know, I don't want to be hospitable to my guests. I try to do everything I can to make them comfortable here.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to the extent of being a hypocrite or being an actor playing a role in order for you to be comfortable. If we can be comfortable with me being me, you know, I'm going to pick my socks up and stuff, you know, so you'll see socks in the living room. Come on, that's hospitable.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But I tell you what we ain't going to do. We ain't going to eat caviar. That's not me. That's not against caviar. If that's what you like, that's fine. That ain't me. When you come to Miles, come on, what
chicken,
we eating?
Chicken.
Man, y'all know what we having.
Preferably fried.
Man, now, come on, not baked, not boiled. Come on, not air fried. What we having?
Fried
chicken. You can go vegetarian if you want to. But I ain't trying to act like somebody else.
Now you will offer them a salad.
I'm going to get, man, you're going to have the best salad you ever had. But I got to, come on, I got to be me.
Amen, amen, amen.
I got to be me, and in my flow, I ain't trying to impress you and, you know, have all of this stuff, whether, you know, oysters, Rockefeller. That's an act. That ain't really me.
That ain't really food, but that's neither here nor there. But what I what I will say is that in being you, you're also going to love.
Ah, there you go. That's it.
And love will not insist on its own way. Love will not continuously keep count of your faults. Love is not quick to get angry. But love is not going to stop being love just because it makes you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right, let's get over here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. So, as I was reading in 2 Timothy, I said, well, this is what people are like without God. I said, what are we supposed to be with God?
There you go. There you go. That's the question.
Because if those have a form of godliness but deny power, if I see what we supposed to be, it's going to have that godliness with power.
Yes.
And that's what I'm looking for. Because God said, if there's no power, turn away from that. That lets you know.
Yeah.
All right. So look at here. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should do what? Show forth. Show forth. Show, that you should show forth. I always like to say God's in show business.
Yes, he is.
And he said, now, he said that you are a peculiar people, that you should be in show business, but what you ought to show is his praise. Amen. The praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. All right, so now, man, we're short on time now, but let me see how we can kind of pull this together so we can close for the day and come back to this next week. Let's see how we can do this. All right, so it goes through exactly who we are. Now, what does it mean to show forth his praise? To show forth his praise. Well, I always like to make the distinction that praise is something you can give to anybody. Worship is designated only for God. So the only one I worship is God. But now I can praise my child. Or and you know, so as you look and you look at something they've done, and you say, whoa, what a great job. This is outstanding work. I can't wait to tell your mama how good a job you've done. You have grown so much. Are you really just 7? Wow. Come on, y'all know they love that. Are you really only 7? You love that. But now, so that's giving praise. Showing forth is when you take a picture. And when you go to work, look here what my son did. Look at this. That's showing forth. And the scripture says that we are a people that show what God did. Salvation should be visible in me. Deliverance should be visible in my life. The change in me should be for everybody a billboard of how good God is and what mighty things he can do, because I've seen them in somebody. I remember what he used to be like, but now when I look at him, he ain't nothing like he used to be. I am a billboard for the goodness of God, for the might of God, the power of God, the gracious and kindness of God. I'm a billboard. Look at me. Yeah. Now, sometimes it's not in just how you look. Sometimes it's in what you say. Sometimes it's in how you treat people. When you are forgiving, remember they was not forgiving and they was unholy. When you are forgiving, that shows there's something different about you. I couldn't have forgave them for that. I couldn't have let that go. And then it gives you opportunity to say, neither could I. Until, come on, until the Lord came into my life.
Yes.
And now the love and forgiveness that comes forth out of me is not of myself. It's not something I learned at my house. This is not because I went to college or didn't go to college. This is not because of how much money I have. This is because God has touched my life and he's changed me from the inside. And now there is character and honor in me that I can't even describe. Sometimes you're going through something and it's a difficult situation and somebody at work may have the same problem and they say, I can't believe that you're not concerned about the outcome. Friday, we could be let go and on the street. I can't even sleep at night. What is it that allows you to continue to be comfortable? Child, let me tell you. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Woo! It's in my heart and it comforts my mind. And I sleep like a baby at night because the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I know I do not want. My job is not my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my healer. I'm not concerned about what they said or what my body feels like. The Lord is my healer.
Amen.
Now, glory to God. That's going all the way back to the beginning when I said, acknowledge him. Come on, acknowledge him in all your ways. And he'll direct your paths. He'll direct you to healing.
Amen.
He'll direct you.
Amen. And you know, we can't wait till we feel excited.
Mm-mm.
As I acknowledge him. As I praise him, I'll start getting excited. And so then if my mind is battling me while I'm praising, then I need to keep praising till my mind shuts up to see what I'm saying.
Yeah, but God, that make it boy.
Because sometimes I don't need to talk to myself. I need to talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
And as I talk to God, something supernatural happens inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And as that supernatural thing starts blooming and birthing and becoming valued in me, then all of a sudden all the obstacles start giving way to the presence of God. Then all of a sudden all the naysayers start shutting up or they run or whatever. And all of a sudden the enemy is quieted. And so instead of sitting up at night worrying or sitting up at night rehearsing the threats of what might happen tomorrow, if I'm going to sit up, I'm going to sit up and praise God.
Yes. Yeah.
If I gotta be awake, I might as well be awake with God.
Yes.
There have been times I have been sitting, you know, when you are physically tired, that is when you are most susceptible to having a pity party. Mm-hmm. And so I remember one night in particular, I was laying in bed. He was so sound asleep and peaceful. And I'm just laying there. All of a sudden, all these crazy thoughts start going through my head. Mm. Oh, I'm such a failure. Mm. Oh, my God, I'm tearing up my husband's ministry. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, God can't use me. Mm. And after a couple of seconds, Holy Spirit, I heard him. Mm-hmm. I heard him. And when I say I heard him, for some who don't understand, there was a thought. Mm-hmm. That didn't line up with what I was thinking. So that was a sign right there. Mm. There was a thought. What are you doing? Huh? What are you doing? Why are you giving voice to that mess? Get up and get in the word and be quiet. Mm. Mm. I did. Mm. The crazy thoughts shut down. And I was able to get the most peaceful sleep. And that is part of what Holy Spirit is here to do. Get you to shut your mind up with worry and fear and care. But instead, focus on who your God is. That in turn will change who you think you are. Which is what God wants.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we let's turn to Psalm 63. Let's end here. We're supposed to be meditating on those of you who joined us on Wednesday evening. We're supposed to be meditating on Psalm 63:6. Psalm 63:6. Amen. I didn't get one amen, so I guess nobody. Nobody heard that.
You should have just said amen. Yeah. Stop telling on yourself. Yeah. No, okay. All right. 63:6.
All right. Dad, I think they being real today. Pastor A, if we can't be real, this is my church. I can be real at my church.
Amen.
All right. So, Psalm 63. Oh, I didn't want to. I'll start there with verse 6. This is the one that we're meditating. It has meditate in the scripture, and you know this word meditate means to ponder. It means to imagine. I like that one better. We know what it means to imagine, and it says, "When I remember thee," talking about God, "upon my bed." See, like she said, I ain't thinking about what could be. I'm not gonna waste my time thinking about. You know, what? I wonder what my kids is doing. And I wonder, did they do what I told them to do? I'm thinking about him. Come on, I trust. Man, he cared for my kids. I prayed for them rascals, and I turned them over to him.
Yes.
So when I remember thee upon my bed, I'm not thinking about what my back feels like laying on this mattress. I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. The watch is when you staying up. And so if you upstairs, who you thinking about?
God.
Who you meditating on?
God,
man. I'm thinking about him. Now let's go back to verse number 1 and just kind of look at how we got to verse 6. It says, "Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee." This is the kind of searching. I'm thirsty. "My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land," like I ain't had nothing in a long time. And Lord, the thirst is the only thing I can think about right now. You know, when you thirst, that's all you can think about. You want some soda? Uh-uh. Mm-mm. You want some milk? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I want some water. I'm thirsty right now. Mm-hmm. I hope y'all see this. I hope you see. What do you want? I want the Lord. See, I'm the craving that I'm having right now is for him. And I'm not going to let anything going on in my life supersede my craving for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Verse number two, what am I craving for? Your power? I want to see your power. Rather than thinking about how am I going to pay this bill, Lord, I crave to see your power. Rather than thinking, what am I going to do if I get laid off? Lord, I want to see your power. How am I going to respond to this pain? I want to see your power. To see your power and your glory or your brightness or your weightiness is what I want to see. So as I have seen them in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Come on, my lips shall praise thee.
Yes, yes.
Lord, this relationship I have with you is better than life itself. I'd rather die than lose what I have in you. That's why my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Look, he said it again. I'm going to praise you with joyful lips when? When I remember thee upon my bed. And meditate on thee in the night watches. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe that as we get more into this and discover what God's real design is for his people, we not gonna want the fake.
Come on. Amen. Amen.
You begin to say, Lord, I thirst. I thirst for you, Lord God. Like a man that ain't had water in 10 days, I thirst for you. I want to see you. I want to see you work in my life. I want to see you work in my church. I want to see you move in the people. I want to see us, Lord God, be unified as one as a result of your unified working in each heart.
Yes.
I want to see an end to strife, Lord God, and pride and selfishness, Lord God. I want to see, Lord, your power in my family. I want to see it, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that as we progress in this subject, I just thank you, Father, that marital relationships will be